Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 12. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that you would guide us this morning as we reflect on the meaning of these words. Lord, we pray that you would guide us through these difficult words, that you would challenge our hearts, that we would not leave here unchanged by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that you would be working in each of us to make us more and more like your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. When the Roman general Julius Caesar and his men set out to conquer England, he took a massive fleet of ships and a vast army. But even this incredibly vast army paled in comparison to the huge number of Celts that they would see lining the shores of Dover. When they arrived, the Celts were very skillful and formidable warriors, and their presence along the cliff lines struck terror into the heart of even the bravest of those Roman soldiers. If the Romans didn't have the men or the ability to beat the Celts in that war, then the only form of retreat they had was to jump back in their ships and sail back across the channel. As the Roman generals under Julius Caesar's command docked the ships in a way that made it easy for them to flee quickly if they had to, Caesar looked on and realized that if they were going to get the victory in this battle, any thought of retreat was going to have to be taken off the table. And so he did something very, very drastic. He ordered that every single ship in the fleet be burned. And when he did this, well, he struck fear into the hearts of all the Celts who saw the commitment of this army that were waiting to battle with him. And he showed his men that he had no intention of sailing away from that island without conquering the land. By burning the ships, he left himself and his men with no option but to give it all they had. Now they were trapped between a raging sea and a cliff line. And a cliff line that was full of Celts waiting to battle with them. As long as that fleet of ships was in sight, there would have been times during that battle where they would have been tempted to want to give in, to flee from their enemy. But with no way to retreat, they were now undivided in their commitment to take England for Rome. In this morning's passage, Jesus raises the stake for those who would follow him as he challenges us to ask ourselves, are we willing to pay the price of following Jesus, even when it's hard? Even when it affects our relationships with others. Even when it causes division between us and those closest to us. Are we willing to count the cost, burn our ships, and follow Jesus? Are we willing to take up our cross daily and follow Christ Jesus, our Saviour? This morning, we're being challenged to be undivided in our commitment to following Jesus so that any thoughts of retreat when times are tough when relationships are strained, are put out of our mind, so that we might be dressed and ready for the Master's return. In a previous section we looked at a few weeks ago, Jesus had been warning those who would follow him to be dressed and ready for his return. He had warned them not to be deceived into thinking that the Master is a long time in coming, but to be ready for the Master's return on a day when they do not expect him and at an hour they are not aware of. And so, as Jesus says in verse 49, I have come to bring fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus was speaking about the final day, the day of judgment, the day when he will judge the living and the dead. I think we all know that this world is not heaven on earth. Our world is full of pain and suffering resulting from sin. And Jesus is saying here that he longs to gather those who trust in him to himself. He longs to wipe every tear from our eyes. He longs for that day when there will be no more death, crying or mourning. Jesus longs for the restoration of all things. But that, the time for that was not yet. First, he knew that he would still have to undergo a baptism. Jesus says in verse 50, but I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Now we know that Jesus had already been baptized by John at the Jordan River. So that can't be the baptism he was talking about. So what sort of baptism was he talking about? Well, the baptism that Jesus is talking about in verse 50 is his death and resurrection. Jesus knew that it was only through his death and resurrection that the day of judgment would begin to draw near, as the time of restoration would begin to get closer. The word in this verse, translated distressed in the NIV, literally means to be tormented. As Jesus continued to make his way towards Jerusalem and ultimately towards the cross, he was very, very aware of all that he would suffer when he got there. As he who had no sin took on our sins, past, present, and future, he took them upon himself so that through faith in him, we might be made right with God. The cost of our salvation was very, very high. Despite Jesus' willingness to suffer for our sake, this baptism of suffering for our freedom was something that utterly tormented Jesus. I think it's helpful for us to remember that Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. The idea of this kind of suffering tormented him right up until the time when it was completed. As Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, he prayed to God the Father, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. But as Jesus faced this baptism of suffering for our sake, the kingdom of darkness was put on high alert. Because when Jesus defeated the power of sin and death through his death and resurrection, he took away the power of the kingdom of darkness for those who trust in him. And so Jesus says in verse 51, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. And when Jesus said these words, it's hard to imagine any scenario where everybody in the crowd wasn't utterly shocked by these words. This is the one who at his birth had had the heavenly hosts praising and singing to God the Father out in the fields to the shepherds, declaring glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. This is the Prince of Peace. And he says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. And so we must also remember that this is the same Jesus that Simeon prophesied about at the temple in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, where Simeon said that Jesus was destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. The division that Jesus is speaking about here is the right and holy dividing of those who have been called out of darkness and into the light. As Jesus established his eternal kingdom by redeeming a people for himself, as Jesus called a people for himself out of darkness and into the light, division was inevitable because darkness cannot exist in the light. As those who have been called and chosen to come into the light by the Holy Spirit and through Christ's death and resurrection, we will experience division when we are living in the light of what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes this division will be small and fairly unnoticeable. And other times it will cause relationships to break down completely. Back when I was working as a mechanic, I would often go to the local wrecking yard to go and get some parts. And I knew the people there really well. I'd spent a lot of time with them. Like in many country towns, the wrecking yard was that place where you, if you wanted to catch up on all of the latest goss and all of the things that were going on in town, well, that was the place to be. And so often as I was waiting to get some parts and listening to what they were saying, there would be times when somebody would say something and then turn around and apologize to me straight away, realizing that I was there and they had just sworn. I was just another mechanic who was there to get some parts. But because I was known to be a follower of Jesus, just being in their presence convicted them of sin. The darkness cannot exist in the light. If we are walking in the light, there will be division. And sometimes this division will be very, very costly. Jesus says in verses 52 and 53, from now on there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. That's a very complete list of all of the different ways in which these relationships can be divided, isn't it? Jesus is wanting to give the most extreme examples of this division. But it's important for us to understand that Jesus isn't celebrating this kind of division with these words. He's acknowledging the inevitability of the fact that those who have been called out of the darkness and into the light will experience division. And in many cases, this division will occur in our families. I'm sure we all have family members who are not just anti going to church, but against anything to do with Jesus. Some of you may have had to say goodbye to a loved one at their funeral without any reference to the hope we have in Jesus because of a conflict with a relative that has rejected the name of Christ. Others might receive backhanded comments or put downs at family gatherings because of your faith in Jesus. Others may even be estranged from someone related to them because they profess the name of Christ. And of course, this kind of division is not limited to those who are related to us. We can also experience this kind of division between us and those who are our friends, our work colleagues, or members of the community. It's a division that can affect any relationship we have with someone who rejects the name of Christ. But again, as Jesus was saying these words, he's not celebrating this kind of division. He is simply making those who would follow him aware of the cost of being his disciple. He is encouraging those who would be his disciple to burn their ships and follow him. Jesus isn't interested in followers who say that they're committed to him, but who flee as soon as things get hard. He wants us to count the cost of following him. He wants our allegiance to him to be greater than our allegiance to our families, our friends, and those we have grown up with. Jesus is asking us to take up our cross daily and follow him. In these verses, Jesus is warning us that in this world, conflict is inevitable because the kingdom of darkness is opposed to the kingdom of light. And sadly, this opposition will affect, at times, relationships with those who are close to us. If we're open with our faith about Jesus, and if we're seeking God's will in our lives, in both what we say and what we do, then just our presence and the way we conduct ourselves will convict those around us of sin. The scriptures, particularly the New Testament, encourages those who would follow Jesus to seek to be more and more like Jesus. One such passage that comes to mind when I think of those passages that are encouraging us to be like Christ is Philippians 2, where it says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." This is the Jesus that we are called to be like. But then we see in Isaiah 53, it says that the one who we are called to imitate was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. This world rejects Jesus because the light of Christ convicts them of sin. The darkness cannot exist while the light of Christ is shining on it. Either the darkness will give way to the light, or it will flee from it. Division for those who are following Jesus is inevitable in this life. Jesus didn't come to bring a superficial peace that looks good on the outside, but does nothing to change hearts, does nothing to change our condition with our God. Jesus came to redeem a people for himself, and to call them out of darkness and into the light, for us to be changed and shaped by the truth of his word. And so as we reflect on these words this morning, and as we think about our own lives and relationships with others, if we are unable to detect any kind of division, any kind of separation between us and those around us who have rejected the name of Christ, we're being called to ask ourselves, are we being honest in our walk with the Lord around others? Are we holding back on what Christ has called us to do and to be for the sake of peace in our relationships, a superficial kind of peace? Are we divided in the way we are following Jesus, taking the easy option when things get hard? Because this morning we've been challenged to burn our ships and to accept the cost of following Jesus, a cost that at times will affect our relationship with others. Because if we are in Christ, we have been called out of darkness and into the light. And as John chapter 1 puts it, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This morning, as we reflect on the division that is inevitable for those who trust in Jesus, may we be convicted to pray for those who are estranged from us. May we return insults with kindness and grace and mercy. For the Lord our God is a God of mercy. And for all we know, he may be about to call them out of darkness and into light as well. Let's pray. Father God, these words are very, very hard to hear. Lord, as we sit under these words and as we recognize the reality of division between us and others, Lord, as our heart desires what Jesus desires, restoration, relationships restored, our relationship restored with God, but also with others, as we feel that burden, Lord, Lord, we pray that you would help us to hand that over to you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be honest and open about our love for you with those around us. We pray that the light of Christ would shine brightly through us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us, convict us, and work through us so that we might serve you with an undivided mind, so that we might burn our ships, Lord, count the cost of following you, and live for your glory and for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.